and welcome to Dak and Rick's Pod. I'm Dak.
And I'm Rick.
And this is a Folly Son podcast, and we're back after a little bit under a year-long hiatus. We are back bringing you guys some sports content. Father, son, you know how it is. And today we come with you right after the NBA draft, which happened about 2 to 3 days ago, and the Heat got their guy with pick 27. There was a lot of question marks surrounding if they would keep it, if they would move it for a huge star, if they would move up in the draft, if they would move back in the draft. A lot of question marks, but those question marks are finally answered as the Heat got their guy at number 27, drafting the 6'11 Serbian Nikola Jovic.
I think it was great. I'm excited. I'm excited for the Heat. I think Pat Riley and obviously the management team and Spoelstra did a great job in acquiring him. I think he's going to be a great asset to already a great team.
All right. To give you guys some background on who Nikola Jovic is, not to be confused with Nikola Jokic, the NBA MVP, Nikola Jovic is a 19-year-old Serbian who played last year on the U19 national Serbian team and averaged 18.1 points, 8.3 rebounds, and 2.9 assists per game. And in an NBA.com general manager survey before the 2021-22 NBA season, Jovic received the most votes for the best international player not playing in the NBA. So high praise for the guy that Miami just got.
Yeah, you know, it's incredible because this is a guy that can shoot. This is a guy that can play offense. This is a guy who has a tremendous, he's 6'11". Some places I read he's 7 foot, but it doesn't matter. He has a tremendous, what do they call that? A wingspan, a defensive
wingspan.
And he does, you know, I've seen video on him and he does a lot of blocking during the course of a game. And that's what the Miami Heat always likes. Not only that you play offense and you're good. I mean, there's a guy who's 6'11", 7 footer, who does 3-pointers. He shoots well. He's good at offense. But more importantly, he's also just as good in defense.
Yeah, he is definitely a great shooter. In that U19 World Cup, he had 49% field goal percentage, 36 from three, and his true shooting percentage was 56.6. So definitely the Heat got their offensive guy, a guy who can hopefully go chase after a basket and help Jimmy Butler, who desperately needed it in the playoffs this year, as he seemed to be the only source of offense sometimes. And I don't know, anything else you want to add on him?
No, I just think he's going to be great in the respect that he's young. He's vibrant, he's exciting, and he's someone that the Heat can develop. You know, the Heat have a history of developing talent, right? We've all heard that, how the Heat, and they've proven it, how they developed talent.
Yeah, Gabe Vincent, Duncan Robinson, Max Strus, Udonis Haslam, there's now
Hero.
Omer Yurtseven, Haywood Highsmith. I'm just naming the guys who are undrafted, but yeah, Tyler Hero, sixth man of the year, first ever one in Heat history, so that's pretty important.
Exactly. So, I mean, they can take this guy and they can really work on him. And since he's young, he's available. I mean, not available. He's already drafted. He's there. And they're going to be able to really do a lot with him. And he's going to be able to, in turn, do a lot for this organization.
Yeah, you'd surely hope so. And Pat Riley is huge on him. As he says, this might be one of the youngest guys they've ever drafted. I think it's the first European that they draft since 19. I'm pulling this completely out of thin air, but I think it was 1997. It's been a couple years since the Heat have gone overseas to get their guy. And, you know, their scouts have been following for the last couple years, he said in his press conference. He also talks a lot about his defense. As much as an offensive player he is, his defense was something that the Heat really anchored in on and said, yeah, this is why. And look, he's a developmental guy. He's 19 years old. I'm 18. He just turned 19. I think it was 9-10 days after before the draft. So he's very young, very raw. And who knows where he can take this Miami Heat team in the future.
But he's young and raw. However, he has been playing. So he's not going to come in totally.
Yeah, like he said, he mentioned in an interview, he's been playing with big boys, you know, over there in Europe. Right. They start out in the EuroLeague and they start playing. It's not like college where, you know, you're facing off against guys your own age, facing off against sometimes a 30-year-old. You're facing off against an old NBA veteran who washed up and headed over there. Anything else you have to add about him before?
No, so there's a lot of experience in that regard that he brings to the table. Even though he's young, he brings that experience to the Miami Heat.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be an interesting piece as the Heat look to build around this squad and take them back to that Eastern Conference Finals and hopefully further to the NBA Finals. But speaking on that, we're going to head to our first break before we discuss all of that wonderful possibilities of NBA Finals, the future. What's next for the Miami Heat? And we're back, and welcome back, definitely something. But now let's talk about the future of the Miami Heat And there's a lot of rumors circulating. This offseason is very, very important for the Heat, as you know, you have Jimmy Butler only getting older, Bam Adebayo seeming to finally come into some sort of form of super stardom. You know, you need him to develop. You have Tyler Hero right now asking or demanding to become a starter in his end of the year press conference. But who knows? He might not even be in Miami by the time that comes around. You have Kyle Lowry only getting older. You have guys like Kevin Durant maybe coming up in the market. Kyrie Irving rumored to want to come to Miami. Donovan Mitchell's been seen with Bam, with Jimmy, and outside of basketball things. You have that Dwayne Wade connection there in Utah. What do you have to say about all these rumors?
Well, it's very interesting. You know, let's talk about him. You know, Lowry, I mean, I love Lowry. I think he's been great for the Miami Heat. Unfortunately, he's been out a little bit too often for my taste, but, you know, I like him a lot. But they're all rumors. Who knows? You know, Hero wants to play. Are they going to let him play? Are they going to make him a starter? I think that that's a good possibility because, you know, they have been developing him. And according to what my recollection is, Pat Riley has said in the past when he first acquired him that he was someone that he definitely wanted to keep on the Miami Heat. So let's see if that's a rumor or if he puts him in some type of package. I don't know. If you think they want the... What was it that Pat Riley called him, the big whale? They want the big whale, then I don't know what Pat Riley would do, but I'm hoping that they keep these young players and continue developing this team. I mean, Bam Adebayo has done great. I think he's developed very well. He continues to develop very nicely, and he's a worker. You know, he's not one of these guys that sits on his laurel. He's a guy that's in the gym. He's a guy that's practicing, that's working, that's trying to become better day by day, every day. And we see him. We see him when he lights up and how the score, you know, not only is he great defensive player, but he's very good at offense. So, you know, I don't know. What's Pat Riley going to do? What's Ellisberg going to do? What Spoelstra has in mind? Who knows? These are all rumors. I mean, yeah, to get one of those whales would be nice, but I mean, at what cost?
Well, whatever the cost is, as long as you get a ring on your finger this time next year. I don't know. Cost that, doesn't matter.
Yeah, I guess you're right, but will that person bring a ring to the table? I mean, you know, I think that what they're trying to do is, and I understand that Jimmy's getting older, as we all are, but he proved himself this year. I mean, he carried the team on certain occasions during the playoffs, during the season. I mean, he's fantastic. He still has a lot in him, I think. And are they trying to develop the core around him by bringing all these newer, younger players? I don't know. Is that what Pat Riley wants to do? Is that what Spoelstra needs? I don't know.
Well, not really that much younger than him, to be honest, when you're talking about guys like Kevin Durant. But then if you're talking about a guy like Donovan Mitchell, yeah, it could be. But maybe you're already starting to think, well, maybe we need to shift to life after Jimmy and kind of do like an interim period, as now guys like PJ Tucker are reportedly being offered. PJ Tucker right now has a player option, which he opted out of, which was $7.4 million. And now reportedly the Philadelphia 76ers are ready to offer him a 3-year, $30 million deal, which do you think the Heat match? They didn't do it with Jay Crowder back in 2020, and we saw much of that hurt. What do you think about that?
Well, that's very interesting. Yeah, that the Jay Crowder scenario, I never understood that well. But, you know, what can I tell you? I don't know really what to say. I just know that if they want that big whale, Kevin Durant, for instance, you know, how much more does he have to give, Kevin Durant? How many more years do you think of high intensity quality? I mean, I know he's a number one scorer, but how many more years of that can he do?
I don't know. Jimmy Butler seems to have found the fountain of youth. So has LeBron. So, you know, KD's been out for a couple of years and on and off. So maybe now he gets to Miami, he needs to really get into shape. You know, Miami's big about staying in shape and being in shape. So who knows? Maybe he gets here to Miami and just has like a career resurgence.
Yeah, that might happen. I mean, a lot of things are in the mix. A lot of things are in the air. You know, there's a lot of balls being juggled. Who knows? But in the meantime, I think that what they're doing, assuming that they don't go and get that big whale, assuming that they keep what they have, we have a great, I wouldn't say a great team, but we have a good, solid team with an opportunity to really develop these players for the long run and make the Miami Heat a longer-lasting organization than just getting a big whale, winning one ring, and then having, again, another hiatus of not winning any rings for many years to come. I don't know. There's always a balance. It's always a yin-yang. You know, you always have to balance everything out. You know, I don't know. And I haven't heard Pat Riley make any statements lately. I haven't heard anything from Spoelstra. You know, Andy Ellsberg just does the numbers, so he might be crunching those numbers and God knows what he comes up with. And he has a good track record, I have to say that.
Yes, the Heat organization does have a very good track record. But now let's talk about some of those homegrown talents, like you were saying. You're, well, not really that homegrown, but homegrown in the sense of that they played for us last year. You have Caleb Martin, who's set to become a restricted free agent. Do you keep him? Do you let him go? Free agency is right around the corner. That's in 4 days? I think 4 or 5 days. So let's already get into free agency talk. Caleb Martin, you keeping him? You letting him go?
Well, you know, again, it depends on how many can we keep, you know, and at what cost and what they want.
Well, let me just quickly step in and say the Heat have made him a restricted free agent. I believe he's the only restricted free agent, which that means in restricted free agency, you are allowed to match an offer. So let's say Brooklyn comes in and offers him 4 years, $100 million. I don't know if that math even makes sense, but generally speaking, the Heat can look at that. They have 3 days to say, okay, well, we want him. And then they can pay him the 4 years, $100 million. And Caleb Martin has no say. The Brooklyn Nets have no say. The Heat just get him back. So that's something very interesting about Caleb Martin's situation. The Heat found him last year. He was a nothing. He was going to go home, like, you know, homeless in terms of like NBA. He was going to be without a team. And then rapper J. Cole found him. That's one of my favorite stories of the season. But what do you have to say?
Well, no, that's interesting. And you see how they developed in 1 year, how they developed him. So, you know, do you keep him or do you let him go? It all depends. The equation is what's all around him. You know, at this time, if he's, you know, for a reasonable price, I'd keep him.
All right. So what do we have to say about Victor Oladipo, the man who just seems to dance a lot?
I think he has a lot to give. I think he wants to give a lot. You know, obviously he had a big injury. He overcame that. He proved himself in a couple of the Heat games that I saw him score. I really saw him go wild and score some points. So he's showing that he has it in him. Now, again,
now, how much are you willing to pay?
That's the issue. And what package are you looking at? And is he part of the package to get one of the big whales? That's something to think about.
Yes, sign and trading is a big deal. That's how you get Jimmy Butler here in Miami.
Right.
You're a sign and trade. The Heat do not have the money to outright sign any of these big guys, whether it be Bradley Beal, which more than likely will become a free agent, whether that's to just get more money out of Washington or not, that's still up in the air. Kyrie Irving, whenever he does become someone available. Then we also have big money on the books already with Duncan Robinson set to make, I think it's $19 million this year, somewhere around there. What do you have to say about that?
Well, Duncan, you know, he was way back when you and I, when he was still at the G League.
Yeah.
And he was, we saw him when he would come in and he'd do his three pointers and we needed a guy like that at that time. And we always needed a three pointer. But then Strus came, Hero, you know, Hero wasn't around when Duncan first started. So, I mean, we need a guy like Duncan. He did great. He was a good three-pointer. But, unfortunately, he wasn't able to keep up with the defense. And hopefully now he's getting trained and he's working on it. But, you know, the reality is he's had a few years to work on and get trained. So, you know, is he someone that we keep? You know, I think that maybe he would be part of a package to get another player.
Well, most definitely. The money adds up to make it make sense.
And there are some teams that need a Duncan Robinson.
Yeah, he might go to another system that has some better defensive guards because at the end of the day, Kyle Lowry, Tyler Hero aren't known for their defense. So maybe he goes to a team with more defensive guards where he can slack a little bit. Like, you know, somewhere that's big, that's been rumored is like Los Angeles, you know.
Well, Los Angeles also rumored that they're going for that Kyrie Irving, I'm sorry.
He's only been in a movie. And won LeBron a championship.
Well, you know, they say that he wants, I don't know if he wants to go there, but the Lakers really need someone like him. So that might be, you know, where he's headed.
Now, another big move is that possibly John Wall is going to become a free agent as he just accepted a $44 million player option. He hasn't played basketball or that much basketball in the last like 4 years since he signed that mega deal with Washington. He got traded to Houston, I think by way of Oklahoma. I don't really remember it because John Wall has been such a nothing in the NBA terms. But
so why are you bringing him up?
Well, because he's still an elite player when he plays, but he's been very injury prone. So do you think if the Heat were able to get him on an Oladipo discount, would you bring him into Miami?
Probably not. I don't, you know, listen, he hasn't been on the forefront for all these years. I think we need, if we're going to get someone, you know, of that caliber, of that experience, let's get someone that can come on in, get started right off playing with the members that are there now. Obviously has to have a good synergy with Butler. That's, in my opinion, that's the most important thing. having good synergy with Butler, because I think that if he has good synergy with Butler, that will transcend to the rest of the players. And I think UD has a good, you know, a good take on that, on who would be a good fit for the organization. Which player will come in and be able to hit, like they say, hit the road running. And I think that's, if you're going to spend the money, if you're going to get trade, you know, use some of your young talent and trade them, I think you need someone that can come in and make an impact immediately.
I agree. And, you know, at the end of the day, we won't really know what happens and where they use their money until that July date rolls around. But something we can speculate about is the NBA Summer League. One of my favorite times of the year, where you get to meet guys like Omer Yurtseven. Like, who would have thought he would be on the Heat roster and probably playing some good minutes next year if it wasn't for that Summer League last year?
Well, what's going on with him? What's the situation that he has to go back to Turkey?
Well, there were rumors that he wasn't going to be able to play in the Summer League because he had to go play for their national team, but it does not seem like that's going to affect
him. But he's going to play for the national team, I hear, right? He is.
No, he is not. That was the whole thing, that if he needed to, then he wouldn't be able to join the Summer League. But thankfully, he will be in the Summer League. So it'll be Jovic, Yurtseven, Highsmith as your three rostered Heat guys who are going to probably be in the Summer League. And I think they're going to be running everything over there. Omer Yurtseven last year was killing it with some games having 20 points, 20 rebounds.
No, he has great potential. But let me ask you, David, is there's a part of the Summer League that's going to take place in California, and there's the other part that's going to take place in Vegas.
Yeah, so the Summer League usually, well, in years past, it used to be in Orlando, Utah, and Vegas, I believe. And now it is just in Vegas and California. And I don't remember when the Orlando one got taken away. I want to say about 5 or 6 years ago, and the Utah one has to be recent, just around 2 to 3 years ago. But this year, it's going to be the California Classic, where the Heat are going to play the Lakers on July 2nd. The Heat are going to play the Kings on July 3rd and the Warriors on July 5th. And then they continue on to Vegas, where they play the Celtics July 9th, the Hawks July 12th, the Sixers July 13th, and they round it out with the Raptors July 15th. And then if the Heat end up making it to playoffs and whatever, however that tournament ends up working out.
Well, I think I read or I heard that Yurtseven is going to Turkey and is going to play for the national team, but he's not going to miss Vegas. He's only going to miss California.
Well, yeah, but he's still going to play in the Summer League. But
the issue was that
if it wasn't an issue of him going to play for Turkey, it was if he was going to even make it to Summer League at all.
Oh, no, but yes, you're 100% right. He will be at Summer League in Vegas, and I think it's going to be really cool to check him out, because I think he's someone that they want to develop, and they want to develop him now. You know, I think they see what he brings to the table. But I don't know how it's going to work with him and our new number one draft choice. You know, I guess he will play center.
He'll play center, and Jovic will play forward, and Highsmith is probably the odd man out, which he was the guy, remember, that we picked up randomly in the middle of the year on a 3-year contract.
Right.
And he's seeming to put in that work. We're seeing videos of him surface around the internet of him in open gyms and practicing, and he seems to be that next 3-and-D, which, you know, for our non-NBA fans, is basically a guy who's known to be somewhat of a scorer, somewhat of a defender, mix it all together, and you get a great player all around.
Yeah, and I think that he has a potential of becoming that all-around player. Let's see what he does. And it's what you just said. You know, a lot of it depends on what their work ethic is. How much do they put in of themselves? Because, yes, you can be trained and you can be coached, but if you don't put that extra effort on your own, I think that, you know, there's a lot to be said, and that it's going to affect your game, defense and offense.
Most definitely. And once again, we will have to wait and see, because we've spent about 15 minutes talking about the Heat, and now I want to transition to our next segment, which is all about the NBA draft. And now we're going to rapid fire review the NBA draft. We're only going to do the top 10 picks, as, to be honest, who has time to listen about all of them? If you want, you can listen to the actual NBA draft coverage and, you know, review that. But at number one, the Orlando Magic. Well, let me just first preface this. Those top three, Paolo Banchero, Chet Holmgren, and Jabari Smith, it was a toss-up. You could close your eyes and pick whichever one and probably have the same odds at one of them being a Hall of Famer. What do you have to say about that?
I think they're fantastic, each and every one of them. I think they're going to be great for their respective teams, and I'm excited to see them.
Well, now, at number one, Orlando draft the Duke guard, or forward, Paolo Banchero. What do you have to say about him?
Can't wait to see him play against our Miami Heat.
Yes, division rivalry. Sucks to see a guy like him go over there. And at number two, the Thunder finally do something with all these draft picks they've hoarded these last 2 years and draft the Gonzaga center, Chet Holmgren. What do you have to say about him?
You know, I saw him. I saw his videos. I think he's going to bring a lot of excitement to that organization.
Let's just talk about the Thunder real quick and how they've been hoarding those picks. And this year they started trading and doing things. I know we said we're going to focus on the top 10, but the Thunder were a big part about that draft. Isn't it exciting to see them finally using those picks?
Yeah, it is. And I think they gave up a few of them in order to get
other picks. So that's right. Why so that I'm saying it's exciting.
Yeah, it was good. It was good to see them move and get and really try to get their organization back together again.
Yes. And now at number three, the Rockets took the third one out of the top three, Jabari Smith out of Auburn. What do you have to say about that pick?
Again, these three players are fantastic. I've seen their videos. They just they bring so much excitement wherever they are. They bring so much excitement. They bring such power to their organization that I think they're going to be great. I think it's going to be good to watch.
All right, now at number four, the Kings went with a little bit of a shock and drafting Keegan Murray out of Iowa. What do you have to say about that shock? We thought the top four was locked.
Right, I know. That was very interesting. I don't know what they, you know, what they did, what their mindset was, but I think I'm going to have to drink some big face coffee before I continue with this.
And then at number five.
That was a plug for Jimmy Butler.
Yes, Jimmy Butler, please sponsor us. At number five, the Pistons get what was projected to be the fourth overall pick in Jaden Ivey out of Purdue. Anything you have to add about him?
No, good player, good solid player.
All right, then we're going to run through 6 through 10 because, to be honest, if they're not for the Heat, we don't really care. Number six for the Pacers, they drafted Benedict Mathurin out of Arizona. Number seven, the Blazers draft Sheldon Sharp out of Kentucky. Number eight, the Pelicans draft Dyson Daniels out of the G League Ignite. At number nine, the Spurs draft Jeremy Shochan out of Baylor. And number 10, the Washington Wizards draft Johnny Davis out of Wisconsin to round out the top 10.
Well, that one we care about because that's in our division. The Heat will be playing, so we'll see how he plays against our Miami Heat. So there's a few. I disagree with you that we don't care. We do care, especially when they're in the division that we're going to have to be dealing with. So,
well, if I name you one of them, will you tell me anything about them now?
No.
Okay, so that's why we don't care that much. But, of course, now in these next couple of weeks, the summer league's about to start, so we're going to be able to see all these guys. We're going to be able to see, let me go back to the summer league. Are any of these guys in the top 10? No, actually. None of the teams we're playing are in the top 10, so we won't really be able to see any of these guys up close and personal. But at least when we watch the games, you know, listen out for those names and we might end up reviewing them here. But that was your fast in 3 minutes and 30 seconds or just there about NBA draft review. Paolo Banchero goes number one, kind of shocks the world, and the Heat take Nikola Jovic. And I think that's about wrapping up the podcast. So thank you so much for listening to this episode of Dak and Rick's Pod. We're going to be back on a more regular basis about once a week, depending on different things. We're probably going to do two episodes, some weeks, one episode, other weeks. All depends how it all works out and scheduling and figuring out what happens. There's not going to be a set day for uploads just yet as we're still figuring out how we're going to do it. I think we're going to end up doing shorter seasons in quote unquote like 10 weeks straight of episodes, then taking 2 or 3 weeks off. So just refresh the batteries, make sure that, you know, we're all ready. And, you know, there's going to be dead spots throughout the summer. There's going to be dead spots throughout the year where there isn't as much to talk about. There's just regular games going on, nothing much. So, you know, there's going to be different things that we're going to have to take care of. So we'll see. But for right now, look, be on the lookout. Follow the social channels at Dak and Rick's Pod. You can follow me personally at Dak25_ to keep up with the podcast. And what do you have to say?
Well, remember, this is the NBA. We're also going to be talking about the NFL. We're also going to be talking about the WWE. We're going to be talking about the Miami Open. We're going to talk about the F1. So there's so much going on.
Formula One is next weekend. So we're definitely going to be having a review show about that.
We saw them here in person. It was fantastic at the Hard Rock
at the Miami
Stadium.
International Autodrome.
And it was incredible. It was wow. That was an amazing production. Kudos to Ross for bringing him. Kudos to the Garfunkel and to the Dolphin organization. I don't know. Is it the Dolphins organization?
I don't know. It's a little bit of both.
Well, whoever brought them, that organization is doing great by bringing not only the Dolphins, the Miami Open, the F1, and now who else? The Miami Open, F1, and
FIFA. And FIFA. 2026. So we
have a lot to be talking about. We have a lot
to
be...
We most definitely do. So, you know, maybe we never end up taking another break, but we probably will.
We'll take a break, but not this extensive of a break.
Yes, never again. As we are back, and be sure to rate us 5 stars wherever you get your podcast. Be sure to share it with a friend. leave a comment. I don't know, like, I don't know what you can do on podcast stuff. Rate us 5 stars, listen on Spotify, Apple Podcast, or anywhere you need to get a podcast. And I think that just about covers it all. So we will see you guys in the next one.